I don't see anybody here that does not know of our situation here, but just in case there is, and for the record, and to make clear what's the little article in the paper concerning our efforts here and other places. I always make it clear to other people, and I want it made very clear to everyone, that what we do here is perfectly legal. We have just as much right, and when I say we, I'm talking about the members of the Order of St. John, we have just as much right to have this chapel, and I have just as much right to be a chaplain here as the Archbishop of this diocese has a right to his diocese, or his archdiocese, and the local pastors to their churches. We are well established according to the Code of Canon Law. We do not have to get permission of the local ordinary to do what we do. You need to know this, and I want to make very positive in your minds the fact that I would not put myself in a situation in which other priests who see things in the church the way I do are doing. I would not take upon myself to minister to people if I were not in sound legal standing position. I would not stand up before you and assume authority over you when I would not have to, and I surely would not have to if I could not do it legally. It is a terrible thing to assume any kind of responsibility over anyone. And to preach the gospel is no mean responsibility. I surely would not stand up and attack the things being done in the church by those who have authority, even though they have no authority to do those things. And I surely would not like, or I should say, I would not ask any of you to throw your lot in with me if I were in any way fallible or questionable legal position. What would I gain by that? Why would I do such a thing? Now, other priests judge that they may do these things. Well, I do not judge they may do these things, because I say there is a legal way to do it. And so long as you are doing things legally, you can be sure that the Holy Spirit will help you to the extent that you will be helped. But if you take the law into your own hands and make your own interpretations of it, for one thing, you're setting yourself up for a fall, because that's pride. And for another, you're going to make mistakes whether you are within the law or out of it. But at least you can expect God's pardon if you make mistakes while you're trying to do things right. I want all of you to know that very clearly, and I want you to be convinced of it. But I have no interest in lording it over anyone's soul or presuming to exercise authority over anyone. I've said this before, and I want you to understand it, because I could easily find some nice little nook in which I would have nothing to do but say the Holy Mass, and read holy books, and write harmless little tracts. I could make a living at it. And if necessary, I could get a job, you know, such as other men do, and as such as some priests have done. Don't ask me what I would do. I shudder to think of it. I'm starting to think of any kind of work. But I do want you to understand clearly that it is only after careful investigation of what might be done to oppose this madness that is the rule of our church nowadays that I launched onto such an apostolate. It is a terrific thing. And even though some people think that I take a certain mischievous pleasure in it, I realize it is a tremendous thing to judge the actions of bishops, to condemn the things that are done by other priests. I don't do these things lightly. I am sure I do things with some care in this respect. I know what they're guilty of because it's quite public. I don't know how God is going to judge them, but I know that it's against the law and it's against our faith, and that's not hard to know. In this regard, whenever an action is public, whenever it is clearly against the laws or against what God has spoken in these scriptures, you can judge the act. You're supposed to judge the act. How could you avoid doing it? You didn't have to judge it. And if there are certain people in the church who do not have the faith that you can tell by what they say, what they do, well, there's nothing wrong with pointing that out. In fact, you need to do it for your own benefit and for the benefit of others, lest they be led astray. Now, in the same connection, I often get the question with regard to this little card. I'm going to try to say again what I've said here for your clarity of mind. Next time I have these cards printed, I'm going to put somewhere that do not approach for Holy Communion. You know that part. You should, in order to be reconciled to the true faith, go to Holy Confession and confess that you fell into error and that you have participated in false worship. The question I get everywhere I go, I got it yesterday, of a person who I'm sure is just as sincere as you, who still goes to the new Mass. I hope he will not after our conversation. But he said, well, how can you commit a mortal sin if you don't realize it? I get this everywhere. Because the idea is constantly given out, it's in the catechisms, that you have to know of the sin before you can commit it. Well, that is not exactly right. Let me simplify the matter by saying you have to make the distinction between what you know and the guilt you incur. Or better, the act that you perpetrate and the guilt that you incur. Whenever you do something that is in itself sinful, you commit the sin. If you do something with the best of intentions, but it is strictly wrong, you commit the sin. For instance, and this is an example which ought to be apparent to everyone, they are saying now in the Concilio Church that abortion, I shouldn't say abortion, they haven't gotten to that yet as a public, I should say, as a common thing. But they are saying nowadays that contraception is all right. Birth control in one or another form is all right. Now, you don't have to leave this city in order to find many priests who have this attitude. Many other priests do not express this attitude, but they are afraid to preach against contraception because they know that many people among their parishioners commit this sin. And they've lost enough already. And they do not want to lose more. As a consequence, literally, I'm sure, hundreds of thousands, even millions of Catholics are in mortal sin for this reason, to say nothing of the condition of their faith and their participation in the false religion of the Masonic Church. They are in mortal sin due to that. They have been told by their priests that it's all right. It's not a sin after all. They were confused before, but now it's all right. Then they come upon somebody like me who says it's mortal sin, no matter how you write it. It's mortal sin. If you die having committed it without having repented of it and been forgiven, you go to hell forever. And don't come around to our Lord's judgment seat and say, they said it was all right because it won't wash. It is not all right, and nothing can make it right. And a person who is married is supposed to know it's not all right. He's supposed to know better than a priest, if that be possible. Because that's his vocation, to know. And he's not willing to assume the responsibilities of marriage as God has set them out, then he has no business getting married. By the same token, or I should say much more so, a person is supposed to know his faith. He's supposed to know the faith being expressed in the churches. It doesn't take a great deal of brain power to know what the Catholic faith is. It doesn't take genius. It doesn't take degrees. You find some of the most beautiful understanding of our holy religion in the hearts of children. And the best Catholics that I have met are often people who have little formal education. Education has nothing to do with it. It helps, and it ought to help. But as you know, if you have observed the local and the clergy generally, in their cases, it is a drawback. It's going to be to their harm to be so well educated, because their education has only confused them. And their positions are going to make their judgment much more severe. But back to this question. Those who go to the new mass, which is the most common way of showing assent to the false religion which it embodies and expresses, are committing a mortal sin because they are denying their faith. Secondly, because they are participating in a sacrilegious action. By being there, they are participating. They have no business being there. Now, to make that point clear, if you knew that a priest were in mortal sin because of public sins which he is committing, you would not be allowed to attend his mass. If you knew, for instance, that he were living with a woman, if you knew that he was engaged in very shady deals, say, through the mafia, if you knew that he was stealing the parish money, they won't even let me get near it here. If you knew that, maybe you're the only one that knows it, but you know it, you're not allowed to go to his mass. Simply because you know his masses are sacrilegious. We had an instance. I won't tell you enough about this priest, in order that you might know who he is. No use to spread it worse than it already is known. But this priest has done things that are so damaging to other people's reputations that you cannot say that he is not in mortal sin. He has done things which have damaged people's property. Caused a great loss to people's souls, been scandalous. Well, even if some of the things he has said are right, you would not be able to go to his mass if you knew the lie he has told, and you knew, you could see that the man is really unscrupulous. You're not allowed to go to such a priest. This particular priest has no legal status anyhow, so you do not ever need to go to such a priest. But when you find out that such a priest is in mortal sin, you may not go. But it just so happens that all the priests who say the new mass are in mortal sin. I do not say that with any joy. I say that with a feeling of horror. But it does not make it any different. And when a man goes through theology, they test him to see if he knows it.